Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles with you, open your Bibles with me as I kind of build a foundation for the direction the Lord's leading today. If you open your Bibles with me to Psalms chapter 78, Psalm 78. Everybody's there, say amen. The Word of God says in verse 8, it might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Do we have any rebels in the house? Anybody here stubborn? Hello? It was at the same in the beginning, and it still is today. Amen. There was a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So with this thought in mind, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to have a New Testament word. 2 Corinthians 7, verse number 10. It said, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." You know, so many times we get so focused on what we might lose in this world instead of focusing on what we would lose eternally. And our eternal life is more valuable than our temporal life. We're here for a season, then we're gone. Amen. So we're going to look at things eternally. And when the prophet Isaiah... And Isaiah 46 for our text today. So turn me to Isaiah 46. The Isaiah chapter 46, verse number 9. The Word of God says this. He says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east." Now, you have to understand this. This was King Cyrus of Babylon. He's going to take the children of Israel into captivity. He was recognized as the golden eagle. Okay? So if you look at this ravenous bird of the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. In other words, the Lord allowed the children of Israel to go into captivity. "Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it." Then he says, "Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. I will place salvation in Zion, and for Israel my glory." In other words, he is going to bring them back. He's going to restore. Amen? And what the Lord was speaking to my heart about, and my wife kind of challenged me on the title of the message today, like a hellion in rebellion. Hallelujah. I remember when we were little wild kids, I used to hear that often. You never heard that? To build a foundation for today, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. And then we'll get into where we're going. Romans chapter 10, verse number 3. Says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted unto themselves unto the righteousness of God." Amen. So we're talking about a hellion in rebellion, amen? And the three things I want to share out of this text today and what the Father desires for us to do is, one, to listen. If we listen, we will learn. And as we learn, we will be liberated and freed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Because God doesn't desire for any of us to be in bondage. When Jesus said it was finished on the cross of Calvary, it was complete and done. So he wants to help us to enter into the finished work of the cross of Calvary. So can we lift the word together and make a declaration here today? Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. And we're grateful, Lord, that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to do. Now, Father, my prayer this morning, Father God, is to speak what you want to say. Say what you want to say. Be used in the way that you want me to be used, Father God. And may the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to the hearers that have gathered here today. Father, you have one purpose and one in our lives, Father God, to raise us up to be who you called us to be. That you've chosen us and you've set us apart for a time such as now. So we say, Lord, God, arise in this house and may the enemy be scattered in Jesus' name. And we'll never cease to give you all the glory and praise in your name. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things is the first thing we have is it's important for us to listen. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, the adversary first and foremost will try to distract your hearing. He'll try to confuse the words so that they don't have value and worth. Amen? And when I was looking at this, look with me in 2 Chronicles, Chapter 24. The word says in verse number 19. 2 Chronicles 24, verse 19. The word of God says this. And yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord. And they testified against them, but they would not give ear. You know, before God ever let anything happen, there were so many warnings that went up. And as the Holy Ghost and the Lord is speaking forth and bringing forth warnings, it's important for you and I to listen. It's important for you and I to listen to what the Spirit has to say to you and I. We're His church. We're the body of Christ, and He has plans for our lives, and it's all for good. Amen. We serve a good God. Amen. We serve a good God. So when I was looking at that, look with me in Hebrews chapter 11. Not Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 12, excuse me. It grew a chapter while I was speaking. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's the living word, just as Quentin said. Verse number 25. Listen to what he said. He said, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, For if they escape not, who refused him that spake on earth, speaking about Moses, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, which is Jesus. Amen? In other words, the Father sent his word to bring life in the abundance thereof. So when I looked at that, the Father took me to 2 Peter chapter 3. Verse number 17. He says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also be led away from the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. The Word of God tells us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for our labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he tells us to stay steadfast, be listening, we're hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. Then he says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom in all you're getting, get understanding. And understand, in other words, the adversary cannot steal what you understand. The only thing the adversary can steal is what you're confused about. Because he is the author of confusion. And when you're confused, where confusion is, there's every evil work. Amen. So what the Father is saying, hey, in other words, as we hear the word of God, amen, and we apply it, as we allow it to be applied in our hearts and lives, because without application, there's nothing that's manifested. Amen. So he says, you know, some says, you know, faith comes by hearing. I can be a hearer and not a doer. We're to be hearers and doers of God's word. Amen. Amen. And what the children of Israel did, they rebelled against the word of God. And when they rebelled against his word, it was a rebellion against God. And the Bible says where there's rebellion, there's witchcraft, there's every evil work. All right? And rebellion. And we're not to be rebellious. God's called us as a body. We're walking in unity with one purpose and one reason, to glorify God and to win a lost and dying world that needs Jesus. Amen? And if we're sitting here bickering and complaining and dividing amongst ourselves, who wants to be part of that? Amen? I thank God for family. Amen? I thank God next week I get to dedicate another child. Hallelujah. Praise God. Next week, right? Hallelujah. Praise God. So he says that we're to listen and we're to learn. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writing to his student Timothy. Second Timothy 3, verse number 1. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? In other words, you will never come to full knowledge unless you allow the word to permeate and become. You know, when Jesus said the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. In other words, that word was spoken, it was prophesied, and it became. All the way through the Old Testament and the prophets of Isaiah and the prophets of old, all prophesied about Jesus. All prophesied that he would come. And that word that was spoken, it just became and manifested itself. And God wants you to understand that every word spoken and the word of God will come to pass. There will not one word fall that it will not be, that won't be accomplished that he has spoken. Amen. So as we're looking at this and we're learning this, he says to you and I, let me find out where I'm at. Turn me to Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah 32. I got a new Bible. I got to break it in. Hallelujah. But in Jeremiah 32, 33, the word of God says, the prophet said, and they have turned unto me the back and not the face, though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they hearkened not. They have not hearkened to receive instructions. You know, so as you're looking at this, you know, what is the word? All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or the woman of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And what the prophet was saying is they wouldn't follow the instructions. My wife's favorite thing on the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, is basic instructions before leaving earth. The Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, and that's the book of me, for me, right? In other words, it's important for us to follow instructions. Now, that's probably why... You know, when the kids got their toys when they were little and our children got their toys and all the toys you ever purchased, you had to put together. I was one of those geniuses that didn't need the instructions. And I'd put these toys together and there'd be all these extra parts. Wow, they gave us extras. And of course, the toy didn't work like it was supposed to. Amen. Then I had to teach the kids on being grateful for what they got. Amen. But it's important for us. It's important for us as children of God. It's important for us to follow instructions. Amen. You know, God isn't just speaking for the sake of speaking like he just feels like talking. But he speaks because he has purpose with every word that is spoken. So turn with me, we're talking about listening, we're talking about learning, we're talking about following instructions. So look with me in Ephesians chapter 5. If you find here that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, everything that I build on the word. Amen. So faith increases. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Ephesus, he says to them in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 6, he says, let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, in righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of unrighteousness. Excuse me. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I better just quote versus reading. I'd rather speak than read. Remember that he said in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God as proper doctrine for reproof, okay? And this is what he is seeking here, that if it doesn't align with the Word of God, amen, all we're doing is speaking the Word, we're speaking it in love. Amen? God didn't call us to judge anyone. God come, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. And if we're followers of Jesus, it's about giving. It's about being a blessing to others. Amen? And if you see your children heading towards the highway, and there's traffic on the highway, and they don't know what they're doing, you're just not going to let them go run out in the highway and say, I hope they learned their lesson. No, you're gonna warn them. But you're going to warn them out of love. I don't know. I got corrected in love as a lot when I was a child. My dad really believed in spare the rod, spoil the child. Amen? I remember this one time. I knew Mama told me I was getting a spanking when Daddy gets home. That was Mama's famous statement. But I was prepared. I was a very wise child. So I got me all these paperback books and these magazines. And I lined my pants. I was ready for Daddy. Daddy gave me a spanking. He never even removed the magazines or the things. And I think he hit me everywhere but where a magazine was. That belt had Holy Ghost direction. He believed in spare the rod, spoil the child. But you know, when I look at that and I look back at it, there was no harm in it. And even though as a child, nobody wanted to be spanked, and sometimes we don't want the spanking that the Father gives us. Sometimes he lets us learn lessons. Amen? And it, you know, but if you look at it, it was for my benefit. Amen? So we're here, look with me, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're learning. Nobody's arrived yet. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 6. He says, see it as a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in the saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? In other words, all things are working together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And when God's word comes, it's important for us to listen. But it's not only the listening. We need to learn. There has to be application. We have to allow the word to be applied to our hearts and lives. Sometimes we don't understand why we keep going through the same thing over and over and over again, is because we won't allow the word to be applied to our lives, because we want to do it our way and not his way. Amen? And he knows everything. He's God and I'm not. Amen? And as he lays this out for us, he wants us to listen to his word, to learn about him, and then that when we learn, we will be liberated, or we'll be set free. You know, I don't know about you, but I know in my life, God has delivered me from so many different things in life. Amen? and he isn't finished yet. Amen? I haven't arrived yet. Hello? And the thing about it is, when you keep trying to do it your way, you're going to end up with that same old thing. Somewhere along the line, you and I have to learn to say, let God arise, and then the enemy be scattered. Sometimes we want us to arise, our flesh, our will, our desires, and not the will and desire of God. Amen? The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against them. And God, that standard was raised on the cross of Calvary when Jesus was raised for you and I. Amen? So look with me to liberate. Look with me in 2 Peter chapter 2. The Lord always reminds me of this. Verse number 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Remember what the writer James says. He says, let no man say when he is tempted, he is tempted by God, because God doesn't tempt with evil, neither does God tempt any man. But when we're tempted, we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed. When lust is conceived, it becomes sin. And when sin is finished, it becomes death, because the wages of sin is death. Amen? So if something's coming in to tempt you or trying to draw you away, God has no part in that. That's the adversary. Amen? In other words, God gives you and I the power of the Holy, by the Holy Ghost, as a child of God, to resist the devil. In other words, if we don't resist him, he won't flee. Amen. Amen. So as we're resisting the devil, we're listening, we're learning. God's wanting to liberate us. He wants us to set us free. He wants to break some chains of bondage. Amen. So look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 4. The Apostle Paul was reminding his student Timothy. In verse 18, he said, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Say, the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In other words, the Father cannot deliver anyone that doesn't allow him to deliver them. God is a perfect gentleman. He will not force himself on anyone. God isn't going to make you do anything. He gave you and I a free will. He gave you and I the opportunity to make our choices. Amen? And there's consequences for the choices we make. Amen. And what he is saying to us, that he is there to deliver us if we will allow him to be our deliverer. And Ephesians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul gives us instructions. Verse number 30. He says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Then he tells us how we grieve him. He said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. How do we answer them? And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. In other words, Jesus said, if you can't forgive others, I don't forgive you. Hello? In other words, that's where the adversary keeps us in bondage, because people have been hurt by people, and they hold on to the and are a prisoner to their hurt and pain. And Satan has his way in their lives because they didn't release them and forgive them. And I look at it and say, no matter what anybody has done to me, God's grace forgave me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. I didn't merit it. But his love showed up and he forgave me and he forgave you. And how in the world can I hold something else against somebody else when I look at what God has forgiven me? Man, I don't know about you, but he forgave me a whole bunch. Hello? Hello? And what the Father wants you to know, those things that you're holding on to, those hurts and those pains of the past, God sees them and he knows that you were hurt, but he says if you will just release them, God can give a release to you. Hello? The devil wants to hold you and I bondage so we can't have the peace, joy, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith, that we can't have the fruit of the Spirit being active in our lives. Amen. Praise God. God says as we listen and we learn from his word, we will be liberated and we'll be set free. Hallelujah. For who the Son has made free is free indeed. So in closing today, what is the Father saying to you and I? Look at me in 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse number 18. He says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through what's wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For if after they escape the pollutions of this world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're again tangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than at the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they've known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow was washed to her wallowing in the mire. God wants you to understand that every last one that is gathered in this house today is called of the Lord. There is not one person that is in this room that God did not purpose for you to be here today, because he has a plan in every heart and every life of everyone gathered. He says that we gather today to listen to the word, to learn, but most of all, to be liberated.